It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. I'm here with Joey Burns of Calexico. Welcome.
Thanks for having me here.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you just share the story. You have been to Northridge before.
I have, yes.
Please, for all the fans who know that this is now the new music mecca of our day, you obviously are so far ahead of the curve. You recognize that Northridge was a music mecca long ago.
Well, back in my high school days, playing in the Palos Verdes High School Jazz Band, we did a lot of competitions. We played in Fullerton, and of course, we would play at the competitions that were held here at Cal State Northridge, which has a great jazz department, and for some time. So, our jazz band won the competition that was held here.
You beat Hemet.
We beat Hemet. We
and
beat
Eagle Rock.
Eagle Rock. Those were the heavies, and as a result, the prize was to perform the second day at the Hollywood Bowl's Playboy Jazz Festival.
And that's, and it's full circle now. You're back in the mecca
that is
Northridge. But this time, of course, as one of the founders of Calexico, the new album's Algiers, a tremendous record. First record in
about four years.
About 4 years, right?
Yeah.
But you did some work on soundtracks, too, in between.
Yeah, we always keep busy. There's always a couple things going on. We had worked on a documentary film called Circo about a Mexican family that is like three generations of circus performers, and they're traveling throughout Mexico. And then we did a feature film soundtrack for the film The Guard, which stars Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle.
Right. So and you continually, both in sort of a collective, I guess, with Calexico and playing with others, you do have, you've participated and engaged with a lot of artists through the years, working with them formally, informally, and
sure.
all. How does one, is it just because you've been working earnestly that one starts to acquire all these relationships where they end up somehow becoming formalized? And
yeah, I guess in some ways, and just kind of expressing that you're a fan of one artist or group or another or style of music. I mean, I remember when we were in the Friends of Dean Martin doing lounge music, and we were on Sub Pop, and we had to change our name to Friends of Dean Martinez, but I had expressed interest to an employee of Luwakabop Music, which was Yale Evalev's label with David Byrne. And then the next thing I knew, I was talking to David Byrne on the phone, and he was sending me a bunch of great music from around the world with his little notes, personal notes. And then he flew John Convertino, the drummer of our
right.
band, both of us out to collaborate with one of his artists, Paulo Braganza from Lisbon, Portugal. And we did a concert, and we got to stay at David's house. And, just things like that happen, I think, just because if you kind of exhibit and share that you're a fan of different kinds of music, people pick up on it.
And that is something that you have, as a band, because really Calexico is becoming more and more of a beyond you and John, a real
sure.
band. You've always incorporated a variety of instrumentation, and on Algiers, I think that continues.
Sure.
It seems that part of the purpose of Calexico is to continue to explore traditional instruments, non-traditional instruments, really soundscapes, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, and just being open in all the possibilities that instrumentation can be. And maybe it comes back from, liking different kinds of music from around the world, picking up on that thread from the 60s with, the inclusion of Eastern music and all kinds of music, Afro-Cuban music or North African guitar music. It's always been there in the background, and I think just as a fan of music and just kind of uncovering some of those layers and peeling back and reading interviews or talking to musicians or playing at festivals that have, groups like Tenaro and
right.
at the same festival, like when we played at Bonnaroo several years ago, and getting to hang out and be on the same stage, at the festival and hear them and get to hang out and just talk. And that stuff, I think, is really important for all listeners, regardless of if you play an instrument or not, just kind of hearing where things come from. And I think in this day, too, where you've got television shows that kind of are tracing people's roots, and it's intriguing, the stories behind
right.
who we are.
All right, this is Splitter.
Through the gardens and fields, neath the tall green grass, you will walk beneath the moon while covering your tracks, working your fingers down to the skin and stone. One hand on the hammer, one foot by the door, pushed by the wind and fed by the need for moving on. Vision runs deep and down into the spill. All the coins you dove after lost all their wills, covered in moss, waltzing for silver and blood. Oh, out in the cafes, working in the grove, guarding the poor of the future you sold. Holding on, holding on to no one. Well, holding on, holding on to no one. Other on the screen, sewn in the pockets and down into the dream, caught up in the mortar and the bricks and heavy load, weighed in the shadows down the living road. Moving on, moving on to no one.
Easy to put the you know, the tag Southwest on Colexico, you know, the name, it conjures up, and yes, you know, a lot of the musical approach, but in reality, the quote you gave that I found great was, you're a fan of music of the Southern Hemisphere. And I thought, well, that sounds much more impressive than just Southwest.
Yeah, and it kind of, it goes closer to that influence, and it's not just of the Americas either.
Right.
It's of Europe or all around the world, you know, and of course, being in a band, the music is the vehicle and it gets us from point A to point B, and it's not always about making money. It's about, you know, learning and getting to go to these places and seeing, you know, who you can get to see and who you can hear and what you can take from that and what you can bring back and what you can share to those places too. And sharing is such an important aspect to all this. And I think that the collaborative spirit is a natural one for musicians, right?
Right.
And it's happened. I mean, that's how music has come to
be.
And so
when it's great, that's the heart of it.
For sure. And so for me, you know, getting to travel, you know, more recently to Southern America, you know, South America, getting to play in Chile and getting to hear the music of Victor Jara while we're driving in the van, going down through the vineyards to the coastal town of Valparaíso and getting to walk through the houses of the poet Pablo Neruda. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better gift than to just to see and feel and speak and absorb all of these histories. And so September 11th for Chileans means something completely different than for us. You know, that's when the dictatorship kind of took place down there. And there's a lot of, you know, students rebelling in Mexico City, all around the world in the early 70s. And we're kind of, you know, those cycles are reoccurring in our own lives, and we're experiencing them now as we continue forward. You know, it's part of life,
and keeping your eyes and ears.
Yeah,
and I
think,
more than eyes and ears, I think it's keeping, you know, your heart open to these issues.
And you learn from all these people's stories, and you find out how more similar we are than not. And I think that just adds to, you know, just a more complete experience of life, and something that you want to pass on to your friends or to your family or to your kids is, hey, let's look at what people are doing in other parts of the world, and then being excited about food and culture and music is obviously a big bridge to all of these.
You tapped into you know, elements I would assume that led to Calexico basically leaving its comfort zone, where it recorded many records at Tucson, and heading to New Orleans for Algiers, you know, culture, food.
Oh, yeah.
You know, was that an overt, you know, idea of, well, let's go absorb New Orleans? Whether or not it informed the record, it was certainly part of what you talk about as your current purpose, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think we went there, you know, because we love the city, and it just exudes all that is so great about America. And of course, the food was off the hook. It was incredible. One of the roommates of the living room studio where we recorded, Kevin Barrios, he's just kind of a nut. You know, he's a bartender. He works at one of one of the more popular bars there. But he's also,
and they get popular in New Orleans.
Yeah, they get really popular, and restaurants have exploded down there. But he's kind of this budding cook, and so the whole time we're watching NBA. You know, basketball, he's watching Anthony Bourdain cooking shows, which I love. And then he's like just kind of drawing on these recipes. And every day it was a completely different menu for lunch and dinner. And the whole place was just, you know, just full of aroma and spice. And I loved it. And so that was kind of, you know, it was it was a nice excuse to kind of dive into that.
So Algiers ended up being as much a culinary experience as a musical one.
It was, and I think as you get older too, you know, you really kind of you gravitate towards those great experiences, and you want it to inspire all aspects of what you do.
It was memorable, right? Yeah. On so many levels.
And on the thematic level of writing, we wanted to find a place where we could identify with, you know, an open-minded multicultural influence, and I couldn't think of a better city than New Orleans. This is Fortune Teller.
Well, I was just standing, turning around, and that's when they caught me heading down. And keep on going, don't look away. And that's what they tell me, that's what they say. In what us and just me playing those games. And still it's my own fault, just the same. And I opened up, I let you in. Now these crystal fields are wearing thin.
One of the songs on the record that kind of seemed like you might have had real spicy food that day, Sinner in the Sea.
Yeah.
It seemed like that track, you guys, was it a hot, spicy meal that day? I don't know.
I don't know. We probably went to our favorite place in downtown Tucson. It's the Little Poca Cosa, and it's kind of the go-to. It's our soul food.
Right.
It's Tucson's very own soul food restaurant, and there's lots, but it just happens to be one of our favorites because we know the family that runs it, the Davila family, and Sandra and Marcella. There are these crazy sisters, and one time, more recently, Bob Dylan came through, and they arranged a meal for him, and they didn't recognize him at first, and then when Sandra saw him, she just had to give him a hug, and he's kind of thin, and he's, you know, he's frail to some degree. He's an older man, you know,
right.
But she just couldn't let go. And and then, you know, I mean, and then he was looking at the chili relleno, and he's like, "What's this? You know, I'm not sure I know this. What is this? And this tea is a little fruity." And, you know, they definitely push the limits of you know, what Mexican food can be.
Right.
It's very fresh, and it can be spicy. And that song, you know, Sinner in the Sea, was the first one that John and I both felt like, okay, now we're onto something. We're combining this kind of, like, you know, 60s twang guitar with an Afro-Cuban influence, and thematically it's bridging this gap that I feel, you know, has been there for many, many years. It's part of our history, this Afro-Cuban Havana influence, you know, and of course being big fans of that music, and more recently the Ry Cooder collaborations with the Buena Vista Social Club, and you know, and just feeling, you know, kinship with that kind of connection. We wanted to kind of tap into, you know, what ghosts are still there between these cities of Havana and New Orleans. All right, since we're here in Cal State Northridge, I thought I'd do a song called Sinner in the Sea.
Shaking, water is boiling on fire, blood and pulsing through their veins, like the waves crashing on the manacled wall, clock stopping at 12. On the eve of a forgotten war, Louise driving a 59, making it halfway across the Gulf, stranded on the rock, stranded on the sea, and there's a wall in the ocean between you and me. Ooh, and the ground is shaking, running to the fortune teller, prisoners pounding the jails, like the waves crashing on the Malecone wall.
Album is Algiers, another record that you know, obviously in the conversation today there's Intellect and Grace in all Quexico records. This is certainly an exciting record, and one that, you know, I mentioned Sinner in the Sea and Splitter, but Para, there's so many songs that we could talk about. I have to ask a question, because it matters to me. Is John still living in Ohio? Because I'm from Ohio.
Yeah, he just moved there. Yeah, he just got there.
Which part of Ohio is he?
He's in Canton. So his wife got a teaching job at Kent State.
I started my radio career in Akron, so
yeah.
I'm a Youngstown guy. So
yeah.
Tell John, you know, next time he's off the road and I'm back, I'll show him I'll show him around, you know, the old Akron Canton music scene.
Yeah.
as a guy. Well, listen, Joey, it's great having you here, and we're glad to be supporters of Quexico, and of course invite our audience to see you in concert tonight. And thanks so much for coming by.
It means the world to all of us, and I really appreciate getting to meet you and hang out, Sky. I'm excited to come back.
You're welcome anytime.
All right.